Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Center Friends Meeting. Can we turn to page 87 and sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms? Thanks for this beautiful summer day that we have been given. We give thanks for this gathering of friends. And thanks for all the people in the world, those who gather in your name, and all the others. We're thankful for all the creatures you have created, great and small, that inhabit the earth, the sky, and the seas. We ask you watch over all of us. Open our hearts and minds to the message we'll be given today. Lead us and guide us and grant us peace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be back with you after spending a week with family at the beach for vacation. It's always good to be back and be here with you this morning. I encourage you to look through the bulletin and make note of any announcements. As you were notified, we pushed our senior meal back to this week. That will be this Thursday.
Yes.
Do you need to see folks? Or?
Yes, I do.
So if you can help with a dessert or can help to serve or help Sandy prepare the meal, we'd love your help and assistance. Just see Sandy down front following the service. I look forward to seeing all of our folks for our senior luncheon this Thursday. Are there other announcements that need to be made this morning? Melissa.
I have a couple of announcements. First of all, the youth who are going to Children's Church this morning, when they're done, they're going to go with Lindsay to the foyer afterwards, because we have a lot of desserts left over from yesterday's singing on the lawn. And so if you would like to purchase desserts to go to help with Quaker Lake scholarships, they are in the fellowship hall foyer, so please stop by. We did raise $583 yesterday. The kids worked really hard, sold some good hot dogs, and they had a great time. And also, VBS CDs are also in the foyer. If you have a child that's going to be coming to VBS or a grandchild and you know they're going to be here, grab a CD so they can start learning the music and just getting jazzed up for it.
I'll just also announce that our yearly meeting, our annual sessions, will be actually the same dates as Bible school, August 3rd through the 5th. So maybe your kids can come to Bible school, and you can come over and participate in annual sessions, or if you're not helping with Bible school. But also just a reminder to let folks know we are coordinating between annual sessions and our Bible school. Our Bible school will serve as junior yearly meeting. So kids that are coming with their parents to annual sessions can come here for Bible school. So that's worked out really well, and we look forward to that coming up August 3rd through the 5th as well. Other announcements?
Terry, the registration forms came in this week for annual sessions, and I printed some, and they're in the foyer of the
Postal. Okay. Okay, so the annual sessions forms are in the foyer, so be sure to pick one of those up and fill it out and send that in. Other announcements? We were just getting back from the beach, and by the time I got the cars unloaded, I'd missed the singing on the lawn, but I heard that went really well. Thanks to everybody who came out and participated with that. So any other announcements? If not, if our ushers will come forward, we will receive our morning offerings. Let's pray together. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for this day, the chance to be here to worship together. We thank you for your blessings to us, the richness and fullness of our lives, and the opportunity to gather here and fellowship with one another and share in one another's lives. Lord, we pray that you would bless our time together, that you would help us to be faithful stewards of all that you've entrusted to us. We pray that you would use these offerings for your glory and for your kingdom. For it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
are you all doing today? Well, it's wonderful to see each and every one of you here this morning. Well, this past week was the official start of summer. And I can tell summer's in full swing, hearing stories of people going on vacation. I know Terry and his family just got back from a wonderful week at the beach. And what about you? Do you like to go to the beach? You do. What do you like to do there? You do too? That's wonderful. Does anyone else like going to the beach? Yes. Lathan, what do you like about the beach? The seagulls? Yes, those are fun to watch. What are some other places you and your family like to travel in the summer? Are there any other vacation spots that anyone can think of? The mountains, that's a great place to get away from the heat and get some cool, fresh air. What about you? The lake is so fun. What do you like about the lake? It is fun to swim in the lake. What about you? That's great. You like to climb the trees in the summer? And what about you? That's a microphone. Oops. Dropping things. Places we can go with our families in the summer for vacation. We can go camping, and we can go to the beach, like you said, and mountains. There's lots of fun things. Did you know that Jesus taught his disciples that it was important for them to take a vacation? Jesus' disciples traveled from town to town telling stories to others about God and his love for them. They traveled day to day, preaching and teaching and healing the sick. They worked so hard that often they didn't have time to sleep or eat, and they became very, very tired. And then Jesus saw how tired they were, and he said to them in Mark 6, verses 30 to 32, "Come with me to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. And I think it's really important we notice a couple things this verse said. First, Jesus said, "Come with me." So when we take a vacation, we need to remember also to take Jesus with us. Some people never give Jesus a thought when they go on vacation, but we should include Jesus in everything that we do. And second, the Bible says the disciples were to go to a quiet place. Their main purpose of vacation was to rest and renew their strength. Some people plan a vacation so full of activities that when they get home, they need a vacation from the vacation. Jesus doesn't want us to do that. He wants us, when we take vacations, to feel renewed and refreshed when we get back. So my hope for each of you this summer is to have a great summer vacation and great times with your families. And to remember to take Jesus with you on vacation, and don't forget to set time away to rest and renew yourselves so you can come back refreshed. So let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for our times for vacation with family so that we can rest and we renew our strength. Please help us to remember to take you with us wherever we go. And it is in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Amanda. Her children's moment reminded me of, speaking of being on vacation, a sign that Leanne and I saw in front of a church as we went to the coast several years ago, many years ago. And it's been a lesson to me whenever you're putting words on the sign, you got to be careful about where you make your break What the sign said was, don't forget, at the top line, and it said, God on vacation. I think what they wanted to say was, don't forget God while you're on vacation. Gotta be careful with those signs. At this time, we'll enter to a time of prayer for one another. And are there prayer concerns that you would like to share this morning?
Barbara and Stan and I, Stan's father and our brother, one person, is facing some medical issues, some serious surgery to remove clots and resectioning of some colon, and we really appreciate prayer for him.
Okay. His name?
Mel Smith.
Mel Smith.
In prayer for my grandma Ann. She's back in the hospital. They think that she has pneumonia. She's taking a comb yesterday for breathing issues.
Okay. Thank you, Kate.
Terry, I told Linda I would mention Patricia Holbrook. It's Linda Hackle's aunt, who's taking on some more medical issues. I told her I would mention that to the church this morning.
Patricia Holbrook?
Patricia Holbrook.
I got a call from Jay Kirkman, who just asked for us to remember him. He's trying to lose some additional weight so he can have some orthopedic surgery. But he had called to tell me that he had lost 48 pounds so far, and he needed to lose 50 more. So he's asked us just to continue to be in prayer for him as he tries to lose some additional weight. Are there others? If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Loving and gracious Lord, we just come to you this morning and thanking you for the way you've answered prayer in our lives, the way we've witnessed and seen answers to prayer in this congregation. We just pray for your continued blessings upon us, your continued presence in our lives to give us strength and encouragement for whatever might be ahead, whatever might be we might be facing. We remember these requests that have been mentioned this morning. We remember Stan's father, Marvin and Barbara's brother, Mel Smith, and just pray for Mel as he is will be undergoing some a procedure and has some medical issues. We just pray for strength for him and for healing, and we pray that you would be with him, and that during this time and during his difficulty that he might sense and know your presence with him. We remember this morning Patricia Holbrook, and just pray for her as she is facing some medical issues and medical concerns. And we just pray that you would give her encouragement and strength and bring her healing in that situation. We remember Ann Heiss, and just pray for Ann as she has had to go back to the hospital. We know it's been a difficult journey for her over the last several months, and we just pray for healing for her. We pray that the doctors would be able to take care of the pneumonia, and that she might be back home very soon, and that she might continue her recovery and healing. We remember Jay Kirkman this morning, and just pray for Jay as he continues to try to lose weight in order to have a procedure that he needs to have done. And we just pray your blessings and your strength to him in that difficult task. Lord, we also this morning remember all who may have needs that may not have been expressed this morning. And Lord, we, as we listen to the news and hear the reports, and we, regardless of our politics, we know that there are families that are hurting, that are separated, and we pray for those families and for those children, and just pray for those children to be reunited with their families. We pray your grace and your peace and your presence in that very difficult situation. Give us all the strength that we need to face whatever is in front of us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We love all that you bring to us every week.
You touch our hearts more than you can realize. We thank you all.
My scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, and I'll be reading verses 12 through 20. John 8, 12 through 20. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Then the Pharisees said to him, "You are testifying on your own behalf. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid because I know where I come from and where I'm going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is valid, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is valid. I testify on my own behalf, and the Father who sent me testifies on my behalf." Then they said to him, "Where is your Father?" And Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while he was teaching in the treasury of the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. Let me read again verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." When we think of light, often we think of the sun. Now, as I've mentioned a couple of times, we just got back from a week at the beach where the days were in the mid-90s, mid to upper 90s, with a heat index of over 100 degrees. I understand you had the same heat here, so I'm sure you can commiserate. And we would spend several hours each day sitting on the beach in that heat. In fact, that sun was so bright and so hot that we all had to keep applying sunscreen, and we had to put up umbrellas and get shelter every once in a while from that sun to make sure we didn't get too burned. And a couple of us did the task a little better of applying sunscreen than others, which is why I have a little bit of a sunburn. Now, I don't expect any sympathy from you since I just spent a week at the beach. And I would do it again if I could. But we often think of that sun, that heat that we receive, and that light that we receive from the sun. And we often think about that when we talk about light. I did a little research on the sun. And the sun is the center of our solar system. And it is thus the light for our world. And there are a few of the things that I ran across that reveal the sun's greatness. The sun is 93 million miles from the earth. If a child were to start flying to the sun at birth and travel 150 miles per hour. An infant would be nearly 71 years old upon arrival. Astronomers estimate that the diameter of the sun is 109 times larger than that of the Earth. Its output of energy is 70,000 horsepower per square yard per minute, whatever the heck that means. And the temperature on the sun's surface is about 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's a lot of heat, and it's a lot of light. But the sun, in spite of its greatness, is not the light of the world. The light of the world, as I read in the passage this morning, is Christ. The light of the world is the Son of God. You see, Jesus declared himself to be such in the Gospel of John. It's one of those I am statements that we're going to be talking about over the summer. Those declarations that Jesus made about himself in the Gospel of John that point to and give us some better understanding about who Jesus is. But it's by far not the only reference to light in the Scripture. As you read through the Bible, we see constant references of light, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. If you were to open your Bible to the very beginning, the book of Genesis, we read that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. It's the beginning of God's creation of light out of darkness. It was one of his first creative acts to create light, to break into the darkness with his light. Break into the darkness of that created world. If we go to the beginning of John's Gospel that I read from this morning, we read that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it said, John says, in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. In Christ is life. And that life is the light for all people. When Jesus was presented at the temple as an infant by his parents, Simeon, who was there, praised God, saying, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light to reveal you to the nations, and for glory to your people Israel." A light to reveal you to the nations. So at the beginning and even the end of the Scripture, we read about light. We read about God breaking through the darkness with his light and his love. It's a symbol of goodness and truth. We read through the Psalms and we see the psalmist describe God's word as a light for my path. The prophet Amos looks forward to the day of the Lord being light. And the people were disconcerted when the prophet predicted that unless they changed their ways, they would live in darkness. All of these images and many more would have resonated with those hearing the words of Jesus on that occasion. It would have resonated with them as they had read through the Old Testament and understood this image of light associated with God. So for Jesus to say, "I am the light of the world," those who follow will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What an extraordinary image. What an amazing hope. It is extraordinary both in its simplicity and in its depth. It's simple enough that we could explain it to a small child and help them to understand it on some level. Probably deep enough that we can never fully appreciate it or fully understand it. We've all had the occasion of being in bed in the middle of the night and waking up and it being dark around us. And when we switch on the light, we can see. That light gives us the ability to see, and it doesn't change what is there. But suddenly we can see what is there. Think of what it's like to try to find your way around your own house in the dark with no light. And then put yourself in an unfamiliar surrounding, relying on touch to find our way. We need light to see. It reminds me of a story I've heard, and I may have told it several years ago, about a young boy who had been out playing one evening, and it was getting to be dusk, and he had one of his toys out, and he was playing in the back of his yard, and his mother called him. It was time to come inside, so he came inside, and an hour or so after he'd come inside, his mother said, "Did you bring your toy back in with you?" And he said, "No, I left it in the backyard." And she said, "Well, you need to go get that toy and bring it inside." The little boy didn't want to admit it, but he was afraid of the dark. And he kept saying, "Well, it'll be fine. I'll just get it tomorrow." And she said, no, it might rain or it might go missing. You need to go out there tonight and get it." And she could sense in him his apprehension about going out into the backyard in the dark of night. So she tried to console him, and she talked to him about him not being alone, that Jesus would be with him. And she even referred to the passage of Jesus talking about being the light. And Jesus can be your light. So it's okay. He'll be with you. Just go out there into the dark and get that toy and bring it back in. So the little boy walked out onto the porch, and he got to the screen door that opened from his porch to the backyard. And he opened and looked out into the darkness. And he said, "Jesus, if you're out there, will you bring my toy in for me?" See, Jesus shines into our life to allow us to see things as they truly are. Without Christ, we are fumbling around in the darkness. But with Jesus, we can see the obstacles that we face. Christ is light, giving us direction and purpose and meaning. The light of Christ illuminates our world. Jesus also said that he's come to bring to light the things now hidden in darkness, and to disclose the purposes of the heart. You see, Christ's light shines both around us and inside of us, illuminating the dark corners that we sometimes try to hide, showing the sin that we pretend is not there, making visible the things that we would prefer to be invisible. That thought of Christ as a light to illuminate our path, to guide us through the darkness, certainly a comforting one. That thought of light exposing our inner darkness is a challenging one. I like to picture a lighthouse standing over dangerous rocks, guiding ships safely around the danger. That is Christ, the light of the world. In John 3:19, after the dialogue with Nicodemus, we read that light has come into the world, but the people loved darkness instead of light. As we read the scriptures, there's a progression. In Ephesians, Paul writes, "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth." And then in Romans, he exhorts us to put aside the deeds of darkness and to put on the armor of light. We also read in Matthew's gospel, in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says to us, "You are the light of the world." So in John, he says, "I am the light of the world." But in Matthew, he says, "You too are the light of the world." Not that we are children of the light, not that we are walking in the light, but we are the light of the world. It's an awesome challenge and responsibility. And Jesus exhorts us to let our light shine before others that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. So as we are connected to Christ, as we are connected to the Spirit of God, as we are connected to the light, we become light for those around us. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And as we reflect on all that image can mean, we also have to remember those words from Matthew, that all of us who follow him are charged to be his light, to shine in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our families. That's an incredible challenge. Is your light shining today? In your actions, in your words, in your attitudes. When the world looks at you, what does it see shining out? The love of God, the compassion of Jesus, the heart for the broken and the needy, or the selfishness and greed, the arrogance and self-importance that stand opposed to the good news of the gospel? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So every time we flip on that switch and turn that light on or light a candle, remember that Jesus, the light of the world, and remember his exhortation to us to let our light shine, or to let his light shine through each of us.
They've left to go to the hospital. It's only a matter of hours or a day or two left with her in her life. So if we could, I'd like to offer them a prayer and lift them into life if we can. Father, again, we thank you so much for the blessings you've bestowed on us as Christians, as us as your children, and as us as the church, Lord. Come to you specifically lifting up the Heist family, the Kearns family, as Anne is walking towards the light, Lord. She's coming to you. Lord, give them peace, give them comfort and understanding of the transition that is taking place, Lord. Help them feel your presence. Let them see you in all that they are encountering, that they're going through, and be with the family so that they understand the change that is occurring, Lord, and they can feel your presence and your comfort. Thank you for loving us and being with us, Lord. Amen.
Certainly, let's continue to be in prayer for Ann and for Richard and the entire family in this very difficult time. I left a little time at the end of the service because I do have something I need to share with you. News that some of you may have already heard, but I don't know that everyone has. Recently, I submitted my letter of resignation to ministry and council as pastor of Center Friends Meeting. It's been a decision that's been weighing on me very heavily, Leanne and I both, over the last few months, in terms of making a decision, and we finally came to the conclusion that we were feeling led to make a change, a transition. I will continue. Many of you know that I've been doing a little bit of work with the High Point Market Authority. I will continue that work. In fact, that role will likely be expanding over time. We are unsure about Leanne continuing to work, so we're trying to make some preparations should she need to leave her job. And I will also be serving part-time as pastor at High Point Friends Meeting, of course, in High Point. I did want to say to you this morning that it has been a pleasure serving as your pastor, that I want to thank you for the love and support that you've shown to me and to my family, the way you've accepted us and welcomed us and supported us during some very difficult times. I will be here till the end of August, and when I'm no longer here, I'm just down the road of a short piece. We all love you very much, and as I said, this is a very difficult decision, but one that we felt was necessary. So I wanted to share that with you and thank you for the time that I've been able to spend with you here at Center Friends. I've laughed with somebody and said, you know, when I came here, I was going to be here for 6 months as the interim pastor, and it's almost 6 years later. It has been a pleasure serving with you as your pastor. I think Keith has a couple of, where's Keith? Oh, there he is. Has a few things.
Friends, as Terry just mentioned, he has tendered his resignation with both ministry and council and the monthly meeting, and this has been approved with regrets. Our faith and practice states that the seeking of a qualified individual as pastor is the responsibility of ministering council. And as your ministering council, we take this task seriously and are seeking the input of all individuals of the meeting. Please share your thoughts with the following members of ministering council. And the members are Kay Coltrane, Katie Shore Mitchell, Sharon Heiss, Julie Morrison, Mary Hamilton, Alan Parsons, and myself. We encourage you to join us in prayer as we discern our way forward and what God has in store for us here at Center Friends. Thank you.
Thank you, Keith. Let's all stand and sing together hymn number 118. A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, hymn 118. We'll be singing the first and fourth verse. loving, gracious God, we thank you for your presence in our lives. We thank you for your light that shines in our lives, giving us direction and guidance and peace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.